Hello, 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 Nicola O'Brien. Welcome to Fox Force 5.
Hello, hello. I was just complimenting her because obviously, you know, I suppose people know that we do this on Zoom, so we always get to look at each other. Yeah. And Katie looks nice and fresh and like she's, because you're working obviously and meeting people online and stuff like that. Whereas I'm just like around the baby, so oh. I look homeless in every single. Oh,
you feel like an absolute like gargoyle when you're at home with the baby, don't you?
Yeah,
it's like,
you know, my hair just cancelled on me 2 weeks ago, so my hair is so bad also, but I'm getting it on Monday.
Can I just reassure you, you don't look like a gargoyle at all. But I know the feeling. Like, it's like a luxury to put on moisturizer, never mind makeup, you know, when you're.
But in the good news though, I'm off to Edinburgh to Kelly.
Well, hey.
For girls weekend, I'm looking forward to it. Much.
Looking forward to your arrival, yes, if you manage to get out the door without cracking up, which is what happens, unfortunately. That is another thing that gets easier over the years. I mean, you're still going to be the person doing all the packing and all the organising and all the sorting, but at least, yeah, you can sort of hand out certain jobs that will get done, you know, relatively straightforward.
It's very typical because this weekend was planned literally like this time last year. Those tickets went on sales at Hamilton. And then, of course, like 5 weeks ago, one of Jura's friends is having a stag and obviously everything organized last minute. And it's, you know, the Friday night. So all of a sudden there's neither of us here. And so who's going to look after the baby? So it's just organized.
And then if you have somebody coming around to look after them, the house has to be clean and the beds have to be made and all that. So it's extra stuff that you have to do. And oh, God, it's just a cyclical nightmare. And I do remember being like, it's hardly fucking worth it going out the door because you're so stressed out. And then like, then you start stressing when you're en route about the mom guilt. The mom guilt gets at you. And then it's like, if you're going on a plane, you're like, if I die in a plane crash now, oh my God. Okay, it's not that extreme. But anyway, you know what I mean? And then everything is fine once you have your first drink.
Yes, it will be. And we're actually, like, our flight isn't until 9 o'clock. So myself and Elaine are going for margaritas at 5 o'clock. So
that's like, is the way to do it, I tell you. Get the party started. You're like, be way too late to party to start at 9 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock when Kelly's is.
Hilarious. Shame they don't serve margaritas on Ryanair, but there you go. So yeah, looking forward to seeing you. But anyway, we better push on with this because we need to do a fairly snappy episode this week. So right, number
one.
So Nicola, I thought of you when I read this article.
It could be anything. I would just warn people. It could be somebody who's having a nervous breakdown, somebody who's a completely sleep deprived, somebody who's I don't know what this was said.
The best sister ever. Best aunt chair. Yeah.
What?
It's about the fact that it could be a major red flag if you relax by enjoying true crime stories.
I've kind of not gone off them, but I'm a bit more picky on my podcasts, I would say, lately. Like, you know, I feel like I'm a true crime podcast connoisseur now, so I get to kind of pick and
choose. Serial is back, isn't it? Serial has started again.
Is it?
Yeah, I
remember when it got released, right? Like, geez, that was 2 summers ago now. They did kind of a very short one. But is it following Edna again or what?
I don't know. No. I think it's a new series, but it's all over the place because that Sarah Koenig, you know, she's, if you're really interested in it, I never really warmed to that much. I enjoyed that one series, but I never really enjoyed the smaller, shorter ones. But she's doing a live session that you can buy a ticket to watch her online. In October.
Yeah, season 4 just started there a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So anyway, many of us like to relax by watching a true crime documentary, but if you're one of them, you might want to listen up. A psychologist has suggested that maybe, unsurprisingly, it can be a bit of a red flag if you find it relaxing to hear about horrific murders and crime. Dr. Thema Bryant appeared on the Mel Robbins podcast to talk about how people can reconnect and heal after experiencing hardship. Speaking to host Robbins, she revealed that those who watch and listen to violent media may do so because the trauma is familiar to them. She said, if your idea of relaxing before you go to bed is to watch 3 episodes of Law and Order, then I would encourage you to think about, why is trauma relaxing me? That's what it is. It's harm, crime, violent attacks, and that's what is going to soothe me into my bedtime. Dr. Bryant explained that some people find this content normal and familiar. She continued, some of us grew up in high stress, so people mistake peace for boring. To come home to yourself, You have to lean into the discomfort because it's going to feel unfamiliar. Quite a few people seem to agree with Dr. Bryant's analysis and opened up about why they enjoy true crime documentaries. One person commented, "It distracts me from the pain I'm feeling in my life. I don't like it. It just redirects my anger." Another said, "The trauma isn't relaxing to me. It's the justice the characters or real people often get that I never did in my own life." A third wrote, "Wow, this is exactly what I watch to relax. This is so enlightening." Other experts also agree with the view, including Dr. Elizabeth Yeglick, a professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. She told Crime Reads why trauma survivors often find true crime so fascinating. "Anecdotally, some people are drawn to the study of psychology to understand themselves and heal themselves," she said. "We have many people in psychology programs who have a history of active mental illness." She added, "Similarly, I think it might be likely that people who have a history of trauma might be drawn to true crime to kind of re-experience those traumatic situations in a safe environment where they have more control." I think it's interesting. I think there is an element of like it sort of taking you out of your own life, you know, into this completely alien life where you don't have to register it. You know what I mean? You don't have to like, it's not a threat to you. So maybe, yeah, I think there's something potentially in this that, you know, it's comforting in a way because in reality, it's no threat to you. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I was eating a rice cake there. I muted myself. It's literally me to sit down and have a cup of tea and a rice cake. Okay? Don't blame me. And I was enjoying you. But anyway, I don't listen to it going to sleep. I think that's bad for you. Like, I listen to it like during the day when I'm doing jobs and stuff like that. Like, but I don't really watch that many. Like, I don't watch Law and Order or any of those things really. Like, they wouldn't be my genre of TV. Whereas I would listen to true crime podcasts and I watch documentaries. So real true crime, I find very interesting. But like when it's kind of artificial, and I'm not like, I'm into kind of into horrors, but I'm not into like the slashery horrors really. Kind of more into like the paranormally kind of horrors, you know, even though I'm not a massive horror fan.
The sort of stuff you can't see sort of thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Suspension stuff.
So it's interesting. I think for me, I just find it fascinating. And I wanted to do psychology in college, I didn't get the points for it. So, you know, we moved on, but it's for me, I just think it's fascinating to hear some of these stories and how people survive them. And if they don't survive them, like how, you know, the guilty person, like they're fascinating, I think. Like people like Jeffrey Dahmer and all that, like super dark individuals. And you just wonder, like, for me, I always am fascinated with like what makes them do those sort of things, like, because it is the tiny minority that hurt other people like that. You know? And I just find that fascinating. And I think a lot of us do, but and like look at how successful the Netflix series was, you know, his Netflix series. People are weirdly fascinated with these characters, you know, and like it's more like that for me, I think. I know it sounds terrible, but like some of the kind of run of the mill murdery ones like are less interesting. It's kind of these like manic serial killers and the stuff they've done and how they got away with.
Are you justifying your interest in serial killers?
Really? No, I think lots of people are pretty interested in it. But like it's just fascinating the way like someone gets away with things for so long and
I don't really agree with the point that it's like people who've suffered trauma. It's all people who've suffered trauma.
So that means
reliving the trauma.
So many people. If I got 10 of my friends together, at exactly, least I can listen to true crime, like, you know.
But I do think there is something in like, you know, people who have experiencing terrible things in their life, whatever that might be, not necessarily trauma, just hard times and things like that. It can distract you. It's a really, which is
for
what
sure
most entertainment is anyway, but it's like the soaps. They're a distraction. You know, we know it's not educating us. Yeah, it's a distraction from our life. Escapism.
I listen to podcasts. I listen to true crime podcasts and stuff when I'm walking or a storytelling kind of podcast. But normally those stories involve something bad happening to somebody, you know, whether it's somebody who's ripping somebody off or murdering somebody or whatever. It's something bad that makes it a good story. You know, let's just be honest.
I suppose the thing is, there is an interesting element as well to some of them about how they solve these crimes, right? So the police sort of side of things. But also, I think at the bottom line is like, you know, your life is better than that life. So it makes us feel better about ourselves as well, which is a very superficial thing to do or be, but it's the truth. We'll think, God, aren't we lucky that that wasn't us, you know? So it makes us feel better about our mediocre lives or whatever, you know what I mean? So anyway, it's not going to stop anytime soon, is it? So
I wonder though, if we looked into like the top podcast genres, it's definitely up there. Like,
top. Oh, it's way up there. Yeah, it's way up there. Yep. Okay, cool. Well, that was that. There you go. Over to you, number two.
Two.
We mentioned this briefly a couple of weeks ago, but I have been thoroughly enjoying Shogun. Is that how you pronounce it, Kelly?
Shogun, I actually understood one sentence in Japanese the other night. Oh, I nearly jumped off the couch. I was like, yes, I haven't forgotten it all. I said, sure, it was episode 5 or something. I was there. I knew something they said. I knew it. Oh, hilarious. Having studied Japanese in university and forgotten it all.
So quick, the way they talk. But definitely it's a brilliant way to learn a language. You know, the way you pick up like certain words and stuff like that. It's an excellent way to learn a language.
Makes you get off your phone as well, reading the subtitles, which is the best thing ever.
Exactly. And you can really enjoy it because you're taking it all in, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's excellent. And if people don't know what we're talking about, it's an FX show. But all those FX shows now are being shown on Hulu. And Hulu has all been shown on Disney Plus for us, which
they've really come up in the world, those FX shows. They used to be kind of tacky.
But this is excellent. And I think if you're into kind of those kind of historically movies, stuff like that, you'll like this. It's kind of epic.
There's a touch of fantasy about it, like, as well. A touch of it. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But I just think, because I think Japan is so like that, you know.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Otherworldly.
Like, culture is absolutely out of this world. You know, it's amazing. And even their beliefs and the things that they did, like, not to spoil anything, but the first couple of episodes are very hard going.
Oh my God. They're all meant to kill themselves out of honor. Like, yeah, it's the worst.
And like in their bloodline, and like, which involves killing their own children.
That's like one of the first scenes is like, and this will put people off, but somebody says, oh, it's okay, I'll kill my baby, I'll kill my bloodline. And you're like, what the?
I actually didn't know if I could keep watching it after that, because
it is a lot.
Emotional at the moment. But it's just unreal, and it's so well done. It's really beautifully shot. And basically, the story is that
it's a real story. It's a real
different kind of stories. So, but that it's kind of the British who are obviously.
It's based in fact and history. Sorry, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
And it's so.
When the conquering countries like.
Portugal, so basically Portugal had like Japan, and Japan didn't know any more than Portugal was in Europe.
And they brought Christianity,
Europe. Yeah, exactly. They didn't have any insight into the map of Europe or the different countries in Europe or anything like that, which is super interesting. And then lo and behold, this British ship lands, and one of the main characters is from comes from this ship, and he's obviously Protestant, and it's kind of about his, like, what they're basically pirates, but he kind of tries to sell himself as more of a Protestant, like, what's the word? Not prophet, but, you know, what's the word?
He's basically telling them that there's not everybody's Christian, and that the Christians have come to take advantage of them, essentially.
Yes. Because he's Christian. I think it's more the Catholics he has a problem with.
Yeah.
The Catholics. So that's kind of where it goes from. But there's also another storyline going on where there's basically a child that has been left that's going to due to take over, but is only like 8 or 9. And when they're 16, they'll take over. So it's kind of about like, who's going to mind. There's a council in place to look after this child until they come of age. And then the child will have the heir to the throne will take over.
Become the emperor. Yeah.
Things become a bit complicated, blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to go into more than that, but it is excellent. There's 8 episodes already out. There's 2 left. So the next 2 Tuesdays, there's 1 each Tuesday, and then it'll be finished, 10-parter. And that's it. There's not going to be a season 2 or anything. It's literally just a one-off season.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it is. It's very hard to describe it because I don't want to spoil anything.
You could do a spin-off with that main character, couldn't you? I don't know. I can't tell you what his name is, but it's Enjin in Japanese. Blackthorn. He's the barbarian. Enjin.
But it's so beautiful, and I just think the Japanese culture is so fascinating that, like, I just love that aspect of it as well. It's not just the story. There's kind of a little bit of a love story, and like there's kind of a war that they don't know is going to happen. Is it going to happen? And a lot of politics and
there's earthquakes and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah,
a lot of drama.
It's unreal. It's probably the best series I've watched in a long time. So
did you see the episode where there's a scene where a sort of bad character fires a crossbow? And it literally passed somebody's nose, like his wife's nose, actually. And, you know, it was one of those scream at the telly moments, you know. And I'm like, if you're screaming at the telly, it's always a good thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're like, oh, my God, did you see that? Kind of thing.
There's some really good goodies and baddies in it as well.
Very
the characters
good.
Are excellent. So,
yeah, really the characters are great.
You recognize loads of different actors in it as well. Loads of them very famous.
There is some English in it as well. So don't fear. It's not all Japanese, but like there is a lot of subtitles in it. So, I know that puts some people off, but it's definitely worth it. It's really good.
But I think because It's funny because, like, it's when the British are talking to the Portuguese, and when the Portuguese are talking, it's actually English, but it's they're saying it's Portuguese, you know. It's it's really interesting. So definitely recommend that. So that's kind of what I've really enjoyed the last week. So I'm not necessarily go on my usual reality TV shite. I'm currently rewatching all of Top Chef because it's on Now TV. It's like. Joy is just like it's kind of a mix of like the real world and MasterChef, so it's total carnage. Like there's scenes where they're getting really pissed because this is like noughties, so it's like 2006 when it starts, and it's like shit that you'd never be allowed to get up to now. They're all getting absolutely pissed and drinking on the job, and it's mad.
Are you serious? So,
I'm really enjoying that. That's all. That's
I haven't heard of that before.
So it's Bravo TV, so it's like all that old.
Did I mention This Town last week, the Stephen Knight one?
Maybe, I can't remember.
It's the guy who made Peaky Blinders. He's got a new series called This Town. Oh, it's so good. It's probably on BBC, so I don't know if you'll be able to get it, but it's still on though. It's only been on for a couple of weeks, so you might be able to pick it up. It's so good. It's like set in Birmingham as well, and it's set in like very early 80s, and there's this young guy, this young black guy, and he's a bit of a poet and very deep thinker and all that, but as things transpire, like there's a lot more to him. He's like really good footballer, he's actually can really kind of handle himself, but he's a real sort of, as I say, real deep thinker and a real sort of introvert. And then he meets a girl who wants to make a bet, put a band together, and meanwhile there's various problems going on in his family. His brother's been off to, his brother's in the British Army, well-known kind of local character who'd been getting into trouble and then decided to turn his life around, went to the army. And then it turns out they're cousins with this Irish family, and they're very involved with the IRA. The father is trying to get the kid on board, and it's around that time of the bombing campaigns and all that kind of stuff. And then next thing we see him, and he's maybe going to get involved in the band as well. And they all have different challenges going on, basically. But it's so good. There's music throughout it. Oh. Kay Tempest was involved in putting the music together, and but I've heard there's been two or three like Irish songs, like they sang like a bar of Sweet 16 or two, they sang a couple of bars of Sweet 16 the other day and in the last episode, and it's just so good. But then there's like proper like ska music and stuff that was big in the 80s, and oh, it's so cool, and poetry, and it's really amazing. Like the Steve Knight guy, he really kind of brings people to life, their characters to life, you know. But anyway, very well worth the watch, This Town it's called, and I think there's about 8 episodes. Right, okay, moving along.
3.
Right, our Fox this week, I heard her on the radio and I thought, she deserves to be Fox of the Week. She's a gas woman. Marion Keyes, who is prolific on social media. If you don't follow her, you should follow her. She's quite funny. But she was born in 1963. She's an Irish author and radio presenter. She's principally known for her popular fiction. She comes from a large family with many siblings. She was born in Limerick and raised in Cork, Galway and Monkstown in Dublin. God bless her. She graduated from UCD with a law degree, and after completing her studies took an administrative job before moving to London in 1986. During this period she became an alcoholic and was affected by clinical depression, culminating in a suicide attempt and subsequent rehabilitation in 1995 at the Rutland Centre in Dublin. In an article for the Daily Telegraph, Keyes detailed her struggles with anxiety, depression and alcoholism, which began at an early age. She appeared on the BBC's Imagine programme in 2020, explaining to Alan Yentob how she was distracted from her resolved end-of-life attempt. She was distracted from her end-of-life attempt by an episode of Come Dine With Me. Her husband and assistant, Tony, diffused the drama by saying, let's see how you feel when we finished watching it. And so began her slow recovery from depression.
Wow.
Keyes began writing short stories while suffering from alcoholism. After her treatment at the Rutland Centre, she returned to her job in London and submitted her short stories to Poolbeg Press. The publisher encouraged her to submit a full-length novel, and Keyes began work on her first book, Watermelon, which is an absolutely huge novel. It was published the same year. Since 95 she's published many more novels, including Lucy Sullivan's Getting Married, Rachel's Holiday, Last Chance Saloon, Anybody Out There and This Charming Man, which, although written in a light and humorous style, covers themes including alcoholism, depression, addiction, cancer, bereavement and domestic violence. Keyes has written frankly about her clinical depression, which left her unable to sleep, read, write or talk. In 2017 she was a guest castaway for the Desert Island Discs on Radio 4. Her favourite track was You Have Been Loved by George Michael. She revealed that she had battled constant suicidal urges at the height of her mental illness. During her appearance on the show, Keys also told her host, Kirsty Young, that in spite of all her efforts to treat her depression, including CBT, medication, mindfulness, hospitalisation and diets, what finally healed her was time. It was an illness and it ran its course. In 2019, the National Library of Ireland announced that Keys' digital archive for her novel, The Mystery of Mercy Close, would be acquired by the library as a pilot project for collecting Bourne digital archives. She lives in Dunlera with her husband Tony. More than 35 million copies of her novels have been sold and her works have been translated into 33 languages. Her writing has won both the Irish Popular Fiction Book and the Popular Non-Fiction Book of the Year, each on one occasion at the Irish Book Awards. Keys has rejected the term chick lit during an author Q&A in 2014 with Canada's Chantelet magazine. When asked how she feels about the term, Keys claimed that it's meant to be belittling. It's as if it's saying, oh, you silly girls with your pinkness and your shoes. How will you ever run the world? But as I've matured, I've realised that I'm very proud of what I write about and I know that books I write bring happiness and comfort to people. At an event at the Edinburgh Book Festival in August 2020, Keys rejected the term chicklet as dismissive and sexist, as men writing similar fiction are not described as dicklet.
I like that.
Good for you, Marion. Good
She's
for you.
She's great and humour and during COVID, she used to do like all these kind of face screening reviews and stuff. It was very funny. Yeah. She's good crack. So yeah, definitely give her a follow as well. She's like such a nice
She's person. One of these people that seems to be getting younger the older she gets as well. Yeah. She's fab. Okay, there you go, Marion Keys. Right, over to you, number four.
Four.
I have a lovely heartwarming one for you this week.
Oh, we need it. This is the content we need.
It's very boring, but I enjoy
baby it. Animals. Springtime baby animals.
Not too far. I came across this guy on TikTok, which is on Instagram as well, and he is basically into finding kind of unusual wildlife in Great Britain. So like wildlife that shouldn't be there. So because I always find this fascinating, you know, when someone is like, there is a lion in Wexford or whatever, you know. There's always like these stories of different parts of the UK where there's like big cats or blah blah.
Anyway, okay, yes.
He came up on my TikTok because he was after finding a kookaburra in the Scottish countryside, Highland somewhere. So
living wild,
living wild. There's like five of them in the UK only. He like goes on the hunt for all these like different animals and stuff. So I thought it was just really lovely, and I like kind of wildlife stuff like that. And bless him, he's there, so excited, and he's like talking about it. He's like, I can see it. It's really, really cute. I loved it. And he's basically looking at this kookaburra, and he's like, I can't believe it, blah blah. So it's all kind of unusual stuff.
Poor kookaburra, you get bad shock when the winter comes.
Yeah, and like earlier on, he was one of the first people in the UK to see like Wally the Walrus when he was doing the rounds and all that as well. Loads of
he'd be
wallabies.
Like hot-tailing it to sightings of animals everywhere. Wallabies. Go away, wallabies.
There's wallabies in the UK. Yeah, loads of them. So weird.
The Australian animals are like sneaking back in people's suitcases.
It's really strange. So did you know actually that magpies were not indigenous to the UK and Ireland? Yeah, they're from Asia. I think they came from like Japan. Somebody brought them here.
Are you serious?
Released them. So that's why they're like kind of a pest. Yeah. And also Lambay Island off the coast of Dublin has loads of wallabies on the island. Again,
that is wild, isn't it? That goes back to that podcast I was listening to a few weeks ago, Blind Boys, indigenous and the guys that have found the Black Widows in Dublin and all that stuff. It's interesting. But they talk about how when you bring in something into the ecosystem that hasn't originated there, they just eat up all the stuff. And then the food chain below it gets decimated. And that's why it changes the ecosystem, you see. So it's not a good thing to bring these. And ironically, the Aussies have it cracked. Like, you know, if you go to Australia, literally your bag is taken apart, your clothes are taken back, everything, to make sure that you're not bringing in any earth or soil or flora or fauna or any animal products, because they are like really trying to protect their ecosystem, which is maybe what we need to start doing it a bit more in Ireland. But interesting. So give us the handle.
Lovely, just nice, clean, fun.
Old fashioned fun.
And he found like one of those cool wild cats as well, you know, those Scottish cats. They're really cool looking. Anyway, his handle is @wildlifewithcookie.
Wild life with cookie.
Yeah, his name is James Cook. So wildlife content creator. So again, he's like a baby Edinburgh, bless him. But he's a like 50,000 followers. It's not too bad.
Well,
so.
There's going to be a gap in that market at some point soon, isn't there? Yeah, like a gap that he's filling.
Yeah.
I was laughing the other day. I saw Bear Grylls, his son graduated. I was like, oh my God, he's got a son who's graduated. But he looked so funny. Like it's this tash. He looked like he could have been the student. It was hilarious. But anyway, that's a bit of a tangent. Right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, finally, number five. So this is kind of technically not music news, but it kind of is. It's got a music connection. The new trailer for the Joker, Folie à Deux, was unveiled. Have you watched it?
Is it Gaga? It's Bad Romance,
Gaga.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Gaga, yeah.
Oh, I know, oh my God, is it with it's the Bad Romance? So... The
No.
The
no,
trailer.
It's not stupid Bad Romance.
Somebody, because I saw, you see on TikTok, and I think somebody just like put in a slow version of Bad Romance, and I was like, there's no way they're going to have that song.
No, what it's is not. I don't know what the song is.
Sorry, I thought you were going to talk about some of the music.
I watched the trailer, but I don't know what the song is. It's
okay,
a mix of songs. It's not about the song. It's about the film, so, and the fact that Gaga's in it. That was my music link.
Sorry.
It looks amazing. Joaquin Phoenix is back as the Joker, who he won an Oscar for, obviously, and Gaga is in it as Harley Quinn. So it's directed by Todd Phillips, and it's a kind of a, it's funny, they're calling it like a musical fantasia, but it's not a musical. There's music in it, but it's not a musical, if you know what I mean. But anyway, the Joker and Quinn fall in love at Gotham City's Arkham Asylum. And obviously they have this very toxic love affair in the comics. So that's kind of going to play out, them meeting and sort of, I don't know, being mental together. The title for the film, which is set for release on the 4th of October.
Exactly. Tagline. Them being mental together.
Yeah, exactly 5 years after the first film, is a French reference to when two intimately related people share elements of the same mental illness. Isn't that interesting?
I've heard many podcasts on this, Kelly, talk about true crime.
So it's the Folie à Deux. Folie à Deux.
Folie à Deux. There's a very famous story about two girls who are from Sweden, I think, twins, came to the UK and loads of mad shit happened. I can't remember the names. I should find it. And they're saying it's like one of the biggest cases of folie à deux because something was happening to the one twin and the other one would react and all that stuff that they were so linked, like, and it was all like folie à deux.
Almost like one personality.
But it comes up a lot in true crime, actually. I've heard it a good few times, but it's a very interesting, phenomenon, I suppose.
I would urge you to watch the trailer. It looks epic. By the end, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so good. Brendan Gleeson is actually in it as well. But anyway, the trailer is set against the song What the World Needs Now by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Phoenix is in the Joker's signature makeup and slick back hair with a jacket and a yellow shirt and seen taking to the stage and performing in a nightclub. Gaga, who won the Oscar in 2019 for her song Shallow from A Star Is Born, says to the Joker, I'm nobody. I haven't done anything in my life like you have. The teaser one, she looks more substantial in that. She looks like she's kind of driving him on in it, actually. You know, she looks...
Yeah, she kind of looks like a baddie.
Total baddie, yeah, from the get-go. But anyway, Gaga's character is a different version of the anti-hero played by Margot Robbie in DC's Suicide Squad films and Birds of Prey. She reportedly gave her blessing to Gaga in October 22 as she said she was happy that the role, much like Macbeth or Batman, always gets passed from one great actor to another. Good for her. The full trailer comes after a 27-second long teaser that came out at CinemaCon in Vegas. The teaser showed the Joker laughing manically while standing alone in a rainy prison yard. He's amazing, Joaquin Phoenix. What he can do physically. He's so skinny in this, you know, because he's obviously been in the asylum or whatever. And he's all bones and his face is so shrunken, like, it's unbelievable. That's coming up later in the year. It's going to be a long, long time before we see it, but it's worth watching. It's worth watching the trailer because it looks great.
And can I just mention those twins, if you want to Google it, because it's an absolutely fascinating story and there's a ton of documentaries on it, are called Ursula and Sabina Erickson. So yeah. I would highly recommend giving it a Google and see
Ursula
the story.
Ursula and Sabina, headfuckers, Erickson.
Including like running out in the middle of the motorway, like on purpose and mad shit all together. So
wow.
It's a very interesting story.
Interesting. Right, okay. God, we were all about crazy people killing each other this week, weren't we?
Maybe that's a reflection of their...
How we're feeling. There'll be no murder here this weekend, Nicola.
No. Murder through margaritas, all right.
We're killing people with love bombing. Listen, we won't hang about, so we'll be back again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See what I did there? With five things you need to know. In the meantime, enjoy the tequila. Bye-bye.
Bye.